Hey everyone, welcome to Murder, She Spoke, the Murder, She Wrote podcast. I'm Maria, and today's episode is Season 2, Episode 20, Menace Anyone? I was looking through episodes to try and what episodes I wanted to do today, and I scrolled down and saw that Murder, She Spoke is literally an episode name, and I had no idea. I just thought it was a fun play on Murder, She Wrote or Murder, She Spoke because it's a podcast. But there's an episode where Jessica is recording her book, and the episode's called Murder, She Spoke, and that, like, blew my mind. So anyway, I'm going back to the old format that I was doing. I did two or three episodes where I didn't kind of, I tried to not kind of tell the whole story. Like, I just jumped around. But I kind of like the format where I describe what's happening better. So we're going to do that again today and see how it goes. This episode is tennis themed, the opening shot. Starts with a woman and a man playing a light game of tennis. The scene shows this young girl and this older man playing, and the girl ends up tripping, and Jessica's in the audience, and she's like, she says such a cheesy expression when she falls. Also, it shows on the opening credits that Bryan Cranston is in this episode. Based on how they're not super... they're not being super competitive, like, she fell down and then laughed, and then, like, everyone, you know, laughed with her. And because of the way they're dressed, I'm thinking that it might be, like, a charity match or, like, the qualifying match for, something low level. Oh, so, I don't know what the event is yet, but Jessica Fletcher, JB Fletcher, is the guest celebrity announcer. Okay, so Jessica announces, let the games begin, and so we find out that it was an exhibition round, and Jessica leaves the area with the lady who fell on her butt, but this like, she's dressed all dressed now. Her and Jess are walking and talking, and you find out that she used to play tennis in high school, but, like, hadn't really played since then. They said it's an exhibition, so obviously not actual tennis players. Then Bryan Cranston comes up to them and makes fun of her for sitting. He's like, you know, no matter how tired you get, you shouldn't sit on the court, and they laugh and everything. And he seems like a kind of fun-loving guy. Oh, and we find out that he is the lady's, significant other. I mean, if you look at his face, you can tell it's Bryan Cranston, but also, if I hadn't seen the credits, I would probably think it looked like him, but it wasn't him. He's just so young. While they're talking, they find out one of the top people that was supposed to be... I think what it is, it's an exhibition for the charity game. Like, they're just, you know, like, I don't know. I don't know what's really going on. They find out one of the top people that for the event is pulled out, so she runs off, and Jessica's left with Bryan Cranston. The next scene is the girl pulling out is in the office of, like, the head guy of the racket club. And he looks really familiar. I think he played the inventor in Hit and Run Homicide. That's where he looks familiar. I'm pretty sure that was him. You find out that she's in there pretending she's in a lot of pain, and then the owner is like, how about an extra $1,000? Would that ease your pain? And she's like, oh no, but try harder. So she's clearly trying to kind of, like, pull money from him. Jessica's lady friend walked in, and there are the two women in there and the owner. And the one woman is the owner's daughter, and she's, like, disgusted at the sissies wanting more money in her fake injury. And then Jessica's friend comes in and is like, this is awful. Like, stop, you know, essentially extorting us. And then the owner is like, you know what? We'll give you $5,000 more if that's what you want. And she gets excited and leaves. So I find out that Jessica's lady friend is named Carol. So Carol leaves the room, and the owner and his daughter are talking, and she's like being mean about, like saying mean things about Carol. And he's like saying that she's jealous, and she's like, she's not jealous. And they reveal that Bryan Cranston was with her and then started dating Carol. And she reveals that she doesn't want Bryan back, but she wants Carol's job. And her father agrees that if he decides to fire Carol, which I highly doubt he's going to, but if he decides to fire her, that she will have her job. So I feel like this is foretelling that she's probably going to try and get her fired, maybe. Or maybe she just wanted the promise and will leave her alone, but who knows. Also, in his office, that chair in front of his desk is freaking gorgeous. So the next scene cuts to Jessica and Carol, kind of like back, I don't want to say backstage, like, you know, behind the scenes of like the backstage of the tennis arena. Oh my gosh. Sounds like I've never seen a sport before. The tennis court is in the middle, and then they're like, it's like a proscenium, like risers, around it, like, and that's like this, the court is below and the risers like go up around it, kind of like Colosseum style. And there are like backstage, which isn't the right term, but back areas like behind the scenes, and that's where Jessica and Carol are watching this younger tennis player like freaking out at the line judge. And they kind of comment on it. He's just being very aggressive. His last name is Harrigan. And you see that Harrigan is playing against Bryan Cranston, and Bryan looking hot as hell as just standing there impatiently. So Carol goes out on the court and just fucking destroys the man verbally. And it's pretty good. So, Harrington, I think, his agent comes back to where Carol and Jessica are and yells at her for yelling at Harrington on the court, and says that his mean thing is an act that that the audience loves. And Jessica was like, well, I don't. And then, he said that, like, he was just kind of like, fuck off. And then, he left, and Jessica was like, what the hell? And then she mentioned that he was Brian's agent until like a week ago, because he caught him forging his name to a check. So we have an established criminal right in the beginning here, and a lot of anger already. Then you see the end of the match where Bryan wins against that douche. The next scene is, I guess, the after party, where the 80th-looking 80s band that ever lived is on stage. And it honestly looks like Adam Lambert in, like, wearing a Jerry Curl mullet with, a beige-ish, light, like, off-white 80s jacket with shoulder pads. Bryan walks in, and a bunch of girls rush for his autograph. The one girl in the pale bluish dress, I love that dress, it's very gorgeous. Then there's a police officer, well, not a police officer, like a security guard walking around the parking lot, and he hears the squeaking of a door, and like, it's a weird like reaction and camera shot. Like, it's like, he turns really fast, and the camera hits him, and he turns really fast. Turns his head just to look at the noise, but nothing's there. It's very fast, and if you've seen it, you'll know what I'm talking about. It's at like 10:10 into the episode. But obviously this is you're gonna there's obviously something going on. The camera goes to look at the cars. He sees nothing, which is the guard essentially the camera is acting as what the guard sees, and he sees nothing. So the camera turns back onto the guard, and he shrugs and then just keeps walking. So the next shot is Jessica in the one room with the owner, who's played by Van Johnson. Angela Lansbury and this guy must have either known each other really well, or he and the director did, or something, because he's in a decent amount of episodes for someone who's not a recurring character. He plays different characters each time. So they're looking at a trophy case, and there's a picture of him and his daughter and someone else, and then his wife in the background, and apparently his wife is dead. Oh, no, it wasn't the wife in the background. It's the wife and the daughter with him in the photo, and Carol in the background. She recognized that in the background was Carol and her sister Barbara, who used to play tennis also. Then Mr. Suave asked Jessica to dance. Oh boy, they walk into the dancing area, and Sissy is wearing the freaking most ridiculous, ruffly 80s shit dress I've ever seen. Well, not, like those stereotypical 80s dresses with like, that are like, they look like shiny almost. Those are the worst ones, and that have like ruching and like, like one side stops it that are like asymmetrical at the bottom. Those are the worst. This is much better than that, but it's also obnoxious. So they're talking, and it reveals that Carol is Jessica's old student. That's why she's there, and the whole tournament is for charity. So even though the owner kowtowed to Sissy's demands and gave her an extra 5,000 at the dance, she decided to stick it to Carol and say that she's not performing anymore. Which I think she's supposed to play the next day. And she said she's walking out, and then Carol's like, "We have a contract." And then she's like, "Look again, 'cause you, I like," she's alluding to the fact that she didn't actually sign it. So the owner's like, "Get that contract. We're not letting her leave." And she like walks out. So drama. So there's a fight. And then Carol starts yelling. So Brian says he'll go get the contracts, which are at her house. She doesn't want him to, but the owner's like, "No, go ahead. It's fine." So Brian takes the keys to Carol's car because her car, I think, is locking in his car, so he decides just to take her car because they're dating. And Jessica and the owner finally get to dance. And Jessica's dress, I don't necessarily like the print of it, but the style and the red color is really nice. It cuts to Brian putting the key into the car door, and then it cuts back to Carol with a weird expression on her face taking some champagne. So I think that her expression is because she knows Brian's gonna bring the contracts, and her signature isn't gonna be on it because she messed up or something. But also what's weird is that if she had messed up, why didn't she, when Sissy was wanting more money, draw up a contract for her to sign for the more money? That way it'd cover her ass. She was gonna get the $5,000 anyway because the owner agreed to it. So she could have easily like had her sign a new contract for the money, and that way, she would have saved her ass and could have thrown the old contract out. But they may be pushing the viewer to think something that isn't true. So we'll see. Also, I'd like to say that it's 14 minutes and 8 seconds into the episode, and there is no murder yet. And then it cuts back to Brian getting in the car, putting his seatbelt on. And then it cuts to Jessica and the owner. And you see the owner is looking at his daughter who's making out with the Harrington, was it? The really obnoxious tennis player who likes yelling. And then it jumps over to his manager watching them also, like, drinking a lot. It's really weird. And cut to Brian putting the key into the ignition and the car exploding. And we have our first murder, and I'm so sad it's Brian Cranston, because I wanted him to see him in the episode some more. So, everyone runs outside, and they see that, because there's an explosion, they see that it was, Carol's car exploded, and she knew Brian was in it. So, she starts screaming, like, really aggressively, which, and started to run to the car, but Jessica pulled her back and covered her face, so, like, you know, your instinct is to run towards the dead body, but also, like, you don't want to see that. Okay, at 15:18, it has the most beautiful scene. Okay, it's morbid, yeah, but the firemen and police are, like, you know, putting out the fire, carrying the body away, and then it zooms out to show half of Jessica's silhouette, sort of, like, cut, like, you can see half of her head and shoulder from behind, staring out at the mess, and that is just a beautiful shot. And then when it shows the her, like, kind of frozen there for a minute or a second, and then it shows her walking away while the police are interrogating someone. You just hear the audio while she's walking, and oh man, it's just a beautifully done scene there. So, Jessica was listening in on the interrogation, and apparently the officer has gone to one of Jessica's lectures, so he swaps in another officer and goes in, or detective, and goes after Jessica and asks her what he was doing wrong in the interrogation, and I think that's great. She says that, you know, why were you trying to find out who wanted to kill Brian? Because the bomb was in Carol's car. They wanted to kill her, obviously. And then Jessica takes Carol home. Jessica's trying to comfort her at her house. And then Jess is like, maybe we could give your sister a call and see if she'll come stay with you. And then the girl is like, no! Like, really, her eyes got really big and she freaked out, like, wasn't playing it cool. And then she's like, no, she's not gonna come over. And then she says, just because Barbara's come back, her sister's Barbara, doesn't mean I want to see her. So, like, Barbara went away for a while, but apparently she's back and Jessica didn't know that, or something's up with her sister. Now Carol is acting sort of, like, angry at Jessica for bringing it up, which is weird. She's hiding something. She gets a phone call. When Carol goes up to bed, Jess gets a phone call, and it says, Carol? And Jess is like, no, this is a friend. And then the person doesn't answer, and then they hang up. So we find out that apparently Barbara died in a plane crash 3 years ago, right after that photo was taken, which doesn't, like, that's what apparently everyone knows except Jessica, which makes it weirder that Carol said Barbara's returned. Carol is wearing the ugliest, looking white, looks like chef's jacket, and I hate it so much. So Jessica goes to Carol and says, you know, why did you let me go on like that, asking you to see Barbara when she had died? And, Carol's like, Barbara didn't die. I saw her a few days ago, so something's up. So Jessica goes to the police about, Barbara. They confirm that she was killed in a plane crash and that they gave her the address of her her grave. There isn't a gravestone because no one ordered one. They never take care of the gravesite, which is the family's job. So right now I'm thinking there's foul play with Barbara may have faked her death, or someone was impersonating Barbara on the plane without Barbara's knowledge, or something happened. At 2506, A man rings the doorbell and goes to open the door, and the doorknob is just gorgeous. I had to mention it. Just a gorgeous doorknob. Oh, the guy's the lieutenant. I totally forgot what he looked like. I have a really hard time recognizing faces. Yeah, so lieutenant's at her house. The door is kind of open a bit, so, and there's some spooky music playing, so something's going on. Fucking damn, I did not expect that. So it showed that him walking through the hallway and a lady in a dress, didn't show her face, coming out with a knife in her hand. It didn't show any death, though, but it's alluded to her stabbing him, but I don't think that's what happened yet. And now Jessica is going to the house. And I was wrong. Jess goes into the house. Carol is crying. She's not the one wearing the blue dress of whoever killed the man. Carol's hunched in a corner crying, wearing, like, white. And it does show the detective is stabbed in the middle of the floor. So the next scene I want to talk about is how the owner's daughter is taking over Carol's job, which is what she wanted in the first place. Which alludes to the fact that she was the one who tried to kill her. But I doubt that's accurate. But she's acting I kind of want to punch her. The way she's acting all entitled to the job and whatever. And acting like it's her office. Part of me wants to think that Barbara and Carol switched places. Or, like, Barbara killed Carol and took her place. But Jessica knew her as a student. So that can't be accurate. Or she would have realized that. So I'm super confused about what's going on at this point. Her sister showed up to the police station. Then they go to back to... Carol escapes from the hospital. Then they go back to the house, and there's, like, a picture of Carol cut in half, dynamite, a wig, and it's alluding to the fact that Carol has two split personalities, and one is her sister, because there's, it's crazy. Okay, so it turns out the owner found out that his daughter was the one who planted the dynamite in Carol's car, trying to kill Carol so she could have Brian, and then they tried to frame Carol for being insane, and they didn't know that Barbara was actually alive, but they played along with it to make Carol look even more insane, and then, turns a happy ending, sort of. I mean, Brian died, but the sisters reunited, and turns out she's not insane. So, pretty good episode. Pretty thrilling from the start. I'd give it 6 out of 10. Wasn't my favorite episode. It wasn't really... the characters were okay, but it was kind of boring setting. Boring. A bit boring in certain parts. Great story overall. But yeah, 7 out of 10, which isn't bad. The next episode we're going to do is Season 2, Episode 22, If the Frame Fits. And this one involves a mystery around, like, a painting, and I think there is murder in it also. So that one's going to be pretty exciting. As if murder isn't in every episode. But yeah, this is Murder, She Spoke. Thanks for watching. Bye.